dbkmediaservices.com.
You are listening to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SBC Sports Talk Podcast. SBC Sports Talk is brought to you by SVCSportsZone.com and Triple Crown Sports. And now, here are your hosts, Shane Combs, John Bruce, and Bruce Knox.
Hello, SVC fans, and welcome in to episode number 232 of Triple Crown Family Fun Center's SVC Sports Talk. I'm Bruce Knox, one of the three guys that'll be with you this afternoon, this evening, or this morning, whenever you happen to be listening to this, for this episode. And this episode, like all episodes, brought to you by the great folks at Triple Crown Family Fun Center. All kinds of fun under one roof. They are located at 1 Nancy Wilson Way in Chillicothe, right off of Bridge Street, just behind the Hampton Inn. They are open 7 days a week from 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. You can give them a call at 740-773-7529. And for detailed information on all the different offerings that they have, including those luxurious state-of-the-art limousines and party vans, you can look them up on TripleCrownFamilyFunCenter.com. Just remember, when you think of fun, think of Triple Crown. And now I'll introduce the other two gentlemen who are joining us tonight for episode 232. First, the younger of the two, Mr. John Bruce. And John, I don't know why I make age a factor. I probably shouldn't do that. We should respect the elders.
Well, I feel like you're almost not respecting me by saying, well, he doesn't matter because he's younger.
Okay.
Which is true.
Okay.
But
we can take it that way if you want. How are you?
Yeah.
How are you as we are taping this on Sunday night? How are you?
I'm doing well. I refereed a couple of youth basketball games today, so
a little tired.
I apologize to those the kids and parents for. I don't love when Russ put on a show, so I decided I was going to do it.
I see.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we appreciate you joining us this evening. The other gentleman, the soothsayer SVC Sports, Mr. Shane Combs. How are we, Shane?
Oh, I'm great, Bruce. I was actually looking at the website a little while ago preparing for the show, and Derek Webb had some great shots on there in Jackson yesterday.
Uh-huh.
On the front of the website right now, you have the look of Leah McFadden holding up the district runner-up trophy, and then you have just the incredible celebration on the one side. And I think it's what I love about sports. People always think I'm just flat insane when it comes to sports, and they're like, why do you love it so much? Why are you so obsessed with it? I think that almost brings it all full circle right there. It's something that can give you such joy. It's something that can slap you in the gut. And I think that's the metaphor of life that it gives. That's why I believe in it so much as a teacher and as a coach, because I think a lot of people just think, oh, you got to go play some games and, oh, good try. You know what I mean?
Or
that's not what it is at all. Those emotions of sadness and those emotions of joy, those are real because people don't understand the investment that goes into that with your teammates and your friends. And that just kind of got me excited about sports even more. Not that I need much help, but that's some good stuff on there. Appreciate Derek doing that.
Yep. Derek's been very helpful here. We'll talk a little bit more about him in the contact information and so forth. You know, Shane, as I think about that, maybe I'm too old and you're too young to remember this, but do you remember ABC's Wide World of Sports and the open for that?
Yeah.
And the heartbreak of loss or something like that?
Yeah.
The agony of defeat.
The agony of defeat. That's what it was. Very good, John. I didn't think you'd be even remembering.
There he goes again.
Yep.
There he goes again. They get double John's too young.
Well,
yeah, I know a little bit. It's usually just like stuff like that.
The thrill of victory and the agony of defeat. Jim McKay, of course, for years the host of that show. And that's kind of what you're talking about, Shane. It's exactly what you're talking about. Well, you know, this is our final fall show. Show 232. I was thinking a little earlier before we started taping about last year. I think our final fall show was probably show 200, I think, wasn't it, Shane? When we got together and did it from McDonald's on Western Avenue out there. So we're 32 shows in now from that show. And boy, you know, it's been a fast fall. So what are we looking at this week for our final show? What are we looking at?
Well, when you say that, I certainly don't want to take the show for granted. I want to thank Triple Crown. I want to thank all the people that make the website possible. But yeah, I think this is going to be a great show, guys. I think that we've had an incredible week, which really kind of set up for a Friday night to Saturday afternoon. There was about a 20-hour spurt of SVC Sports that was just so nutty that I couldn't keep up.
Yeah.
I know it was two really late nights on the website. Yeah, you know, I mentioned those two pictures, but I just you start with that Friday night and what's on the line with teams trying to make the playoffs. You had the SVC championship game, which we'll get into a little bit more later. You know, again, the thrill of victory, the heartbreak of defeat, but you still have the playoffs there waiting on you. The weather obviously played a factor that was disappointing, especially if you weren't really rooting for a team. But then on Saturday, you have soccer going on. You know, we head down to Jackson. We start there with soccer. We watch. I run over to the gym. I laugh because I said, I don't think I've ever left the sporting event in overtime, but I tweeted out that I knew John and Derek had a goal in them for sure, that I was going to head over. And you had Paint Valley and their Cinderella run. You know, unfortunately, the slipper didn't still fit one more day, but they certainly played their hearts out. And even though they lost in straight sets, they were certainly right there in the first and third set. And then over at John gets in his car, takes off back to Chillicothe. He gets out to Southeastern. He's watching Uni at a volleyball. And they'd been playing really well. Sounds like they just ended up running into a team that just maybe a little bit better, at least on that day, a little bigger, faster, stronger, which is something that we don't often say in our league around here. When you start talking about athletes that compare in terms of size and athleticism. And then head down to Waverly, cap off with Southeastern, Zane Trace. And then, you know, I was interested in that nightcap there with my cousin playing as well. But it was just a long day of sports. And then I certainly won't leave out the regional cross country, which I know we'll talk about heading to state too. So just a lot going on. But I thought I would open with those two pictures, Bruce, because that's really what made me think about that. And I certainly don't want to get going too much here. You can tell me to shut up if I do. But it made me think that the kids work so hard, and that's why they win. I always say if winning was that easy, everybody would do it. Mm-hmm. I hope everybody understands the Uniota soccer kids are that good because of how hard they work at it. The Paint Valley football kids are that good because they work at it. You know, the Uniota basketball players are that good because they work at it. Every sport I could go through, you can say what you want about this team's loaded or this team got this kid in or this team. It always comes down to you look at these kids that are on these championship teams and you start thinking in the offseason, I know he or she does this, 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 and this. Mm-hmm. And it's really unmatched at other schools. And I think that's the lesson learned, too, in sports that can really help you in life be successful. So good stuff on those pictures from Derek. I just thought it was a great way to open.
Yep. And we do appreciate, again, what Derek's been doing for us. But, Shane, since we do have so much football, volleyball, and even some basketball to talk about this week, could you kind of give us a quick recap of regional cross country? Because I know they had a big event this past Saturday.
No question. We've committed on SEC Sports Talk, no matter how long we have to stay on the air, we're going to cover the big sports heavy. But at the same time, we will never cheat sports, and especially not going to cheat athletes who are making the state. So let's look at Tucker Marco with a third place finish. The Uniota boys finish a runner up there. You know what's crazy, John, is when you look at the extended numbers and look out to if Uniota could run that 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th kid, and even all the way up to the regional level, it just shows you the depth of their program is really unmatched throughout the entire region of our state, and maybe even at the state. That Heath team and Sheridan team certainly matched up with Uniota there in the top 3, 4, maybe even 5. But what was crazy is even the scores that didn't count or the times that didn't count, I looked out. That was something that caught my mind. So, congratulations, Uniota. They head to the state, and going with them over there on the girls' side in the D3 race, you had Zane Trace sophomore Hannah Kerr. She finished the 6th. 16th. She was only about 20 seconds out of that top five. And I think that's their thing. I talked to some cross country coaches about guys this week. They said, when you get on some of these courses and you get to this level of running, one mistake. And a lot of times, just for me, I'm thinking a mistake. What's that mean? Like, I'm just trying to finish. You know, I mean, if I go out to run any, if I try to run to the mailbox and back, I'm just trying to finish. And they're talking about one mistake here, one angle here. If you get cut here, it could cost you 10, 15 spots, because they were talking about finishing inside the top, whatever you had to make the state. Mm-hmm. And so when I it's really made me as a sports fan look at these numbers a little bit different way. But congratulations to the Uniota boys and to Hannah there at Zane Trace. They'll run, I assume that's a National Trail Raceway. And that's a place that, you know, Uniota Zane Trace type of programs have a little bit of knowledge of, a little bit of experience with. And we're certainly excited, and we'll be behind them, following them this upcoming weekend.
All right. We congratulate those that are moving on, and we also congratulate those that just made it to regional as well. That's that's quite an accomplishment.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. And all those results are on there. We have the link to the page that you can still find those races. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. I was sitting here watching one of the races on, you know, just watching the times come through, and it was just amazing to watch how the runners changed from one mark to another in order and so forth. That's pretty amazing, because some of them really, really must have turned it on, you know, for the last half, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Well, you know, John, as Shane said, we are done with tennis and golf, but I know you had a very exciting Saturday with Uniota girls soccer, so why don't you kind of bring us up to date on what's going on there?
Yeah, well, I got a nice surprise when I was on the way down, and I got a call from Shane, and he was going to be there.
Yeah.
So, yeah, just getting to watch it with Shane was a lot of fun, and then you know, obviously I had to leave going into overtime, but then I got to watch it with Derek a little bit.
Yeah.
So it was a good night all around. But started off a couple weeks ago, they played Fairfield Union. They beat them 2-1. It was a really hard fought game on a kind of a narrow, smallish field.
Hmm.
Fairfield Union they play on their football field, and the way it sits, you can't really widen it either. So I thought, well, you know, get on a bigger field, on a turf field, Union is going to be in good shape. And I didn't realize how good Fairfield Union was, but man, they were an extremely good team. Obviously, if you hold a Union to no goals through 100 minutes and 20 seconds, obviously it's, you know,
they're good.
Yeah, they're good. So that, to me, it just says so much about Uniota being able to withstand everything. They played without all SBC, Asaisha Kaufman. She broke her foot or a bone in her foot in the Hillsborough game, so she didn't play in either of the district games. And then Amelia Willis, who's one of their top goal scorers, is also out. She got injured late in the Waverly game, so hopefully she'll be back soon. Kaufman, she seemed like it's possible to be back, but I talked all year about them having incredible depth.
Mm-hmm.
So even without those two, they have people that can fill in. Abby Seals filled in on the defensive side and was just unreal all game.
Yeah.
Just flying around. Yeah. I mean, I can't say enough about her performance. And that's a kid who she started the first half of the year and then hadn't played as much the last half of the season, and didn't get down about it, and just played outstanding throughout. You could tell during the game that Jayla Campbell was still slowed a little bit by her leg, and also playing 100 minutes after they'd been kind of here and there with her minutes. You could tell it was winding her down a lot, but man, she's so good and just so smart that she was getting herself in great position, really was still able to make an impact. But they had, you know, just outstanding play from all their players. The goal was set up by an Atlanta Gonneau throw-in. This is double overtime. So in soccer, you play 80 minutes. Mm-hmm. Then you have a 15-minute overtime. And then you have a second 15-minute overtime. Mm-hmm. Now, a lot of people have seen shootouts and everything, and that would have happened if the goal didn't get scored. But with 9:39 left in the second overtime, Elaine Gano throws it in. Kylie Bethel makes a nice pass, a cutting. Michaela Thompson, who is able to put it in the back of that on a deflection off of a Fairfield Union defender. But I've watched it back. If it goes through them, if it doesn't go in, Jalen Campbell was in position to put it in. So it's going in no matter what. Mm-hmm. It was a great team play. I know Shane mentioned late in that game, there's a couple just really good connecting passes the Shermans were making, and you could tell it was coming. But after the game, Derek Webb actually did a couple interviews. Mm-hmm. If you could play the first clip, it's just Mikayla Thompson on how she felt after the game went in goal.
Take me through that last goal, though. I mean, obviously, you don't win without you, right?
Yeah. I played with all my heart. I mean, I got hurt, and I just wanted to go back in. I mean, this is my last year, and I want to play with everything I got. So I said, I'm going back in, and I'm going to give it my all.
Yeah, so Mikayla there, she obviously still very excited after the game. She got hurt late in the first overtime and was able to get back in for the second overtime. So they were almost down a third player. Mm. So she did a great job being gutty and gritty and just getting to the right spot. And then also after, he also had or coming up on Tuesday, the girls, they play Big Walnut.
Okay.
At 6 p.m. on Tuesday at Bloom Carroll. Big Walnut upset number one in the state, Granville, on Saturday, about 45 minutes after Unioda won. Big Walnut, they knocked Unioda out last year in the regional semis, so the same round, 1-0. A very good game last year. Big Walnut, 12-2-4, only gave up 9 goals this year.
Wow.
So, yeah. So, more than likely, it's going to be another 1-0 game. You know, low scoring. If Unio is going to win it, they're going to have 1-0, maybe 2-1, but it's going to be a low scoring game. Now, Unio's only loss was to New Albany, who one of Big Walnut's two losses was also to to New Albany. So they had a like opponent. It's going to take a lot for the Unio to win, but they have that depth. They have the bench. They can do it. And if you can play the second clip, it's Mikayla Thompson, Kylie Bethel, and Jayla Campbell, the three captains of Unioda, discussing their upcoming regional semifinal game. Now, first it'll be Mikayla, then Kylie, and then Derek goes into another question with Jayla. And then they kind of end with a little statement about Sydney Green, which I'll get to after the clip.
Here we go.
We all just have to play like with the heart that we played today. Like, we all have to play our game, play defeat, and play with everything you got. We just have to be there, be ready to play, and body up on them, and we can't let anything go.
Jayla, I got a different question for you. Big one was that at this level last year, up 1-0 loss there. What did you learn last year from that game that you can take into this game and get a win?
That we can actually play with teams like this. Like, we are up there with all of them, and we're not like some rinky-dink school from Chillicothe. Like, we can play with all these big schools too.
God, I lied. Somebody answer one last question. Sydney Free, I can't get out of here without talking about her.
Oh my
right?
gosh.
Golden girl.
She's yes, amazing. Somebody. She's amazing.
She's the best thing ever.
Yeah, she's the best thing. I love her so much. We all are like always yelling at her. Like, oh my God, Sydney, I can't believe you just made that save. It's incredible.
It would be impossible without her. Literally impossible.
Yeah, so I thought that was pretty awesome just to hear them talk about their goalie the way they do. There's times where you'll see where Coach Camp will, when she tweets out the stats after the game, you'll see a game with Sydney Free with no saves. Sometimes she doesn't have to do very much, but man, she is unreal. Mm-hmm. Very athletic, just tactically understands the game. And I didn't get a number of saves that she had from Saturday, but I would say it was close to 10. A couple of diving saves early, and just the way she adjusted with the fastball on the skips on the turf with the rain was just unbelievable. And it's just full credit to her on how much of an impact she has on the team when sometimes she doesn't have much to do, but she still impacts the team in such a big positive way. I thought it was really cool to get them on at the end.
You know, John, she had a ball. I think I tweeted on a comment off of one of your tweets. Mm-hmm. She had a ball there in the first half where it was kind of at the right side, a little diagonal. She had to dive to her right. And again, mm-hmm. with the conditions, she made just an outstanding play. And I got to thinking at the time, you know, you just at that level, you feel like, hey, one goal is going to win this thing.
Yep.
And that's a championship play. And real, real impressive. Yeah, Bruce, they're unreal athletes. Their conditioning and their speed, their spacing. You know, being someone that loves the game of basketball,
mm-hmm.
you can see a lot of the different helpful things. I know we're going to talk about basketball later tonight with over the years with Uniota Zane Trace, and I think of the Southern Hills Athletic Conference and the connection we've always made basketball and soccer.
Mm-hmm.
But these Uniota kids are just unreal athletes. I mean, so SVC-wise, if you just love sports, even if you're not a soccer fan and you're not doing anything Tuesday night, you certainly won't be disappointed getting out and watching them and supporting the SVC.
All right, guys. It was interesting. I was following all three of you, and there was not too much downtime, even from a Twitter's perspective, because you were tweeting it out, and it was great coverage from all three of you. And those of us that couldn't attend sure did appreciate it, you know, trying to keep up with what was going on. So I appreciate that. Well, our soccer second has been
it was a lot of fun.
Yep. Our soccer second has been brought to you by North Fork Animal Clinic. That's Dr. Blake Lloyd and his staff at 2260 Anderson Station Road in Chillicothe. Remember, they have the veterinary practice, which is open Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturdays, 9 a.m. to 12 p.m., and then, of course, the Pet Resort. That's open Monday through Friday, 7 to 7, Saturday and Sunday, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. That's North Fork Animal Clinic, where we care. We appreciate their support of SVC Sports Talk. Well, guys, obviously this week's feature segment is a football league that has been a treat to follow. Up next, we will go four downs for the final time this season.
My friends, feel as
well. We're going to have a football discussion here that's sponsored by Crown Hill Golf Club, 9500 U.S. Route 22 West in Williamsport. Their telephone number up there, 740-986-4653. And, of course, you can look them up on the web at crownhillgolfclub.com. They're big supporters of SVC, and we really appreciate their support here of the podcast as well. Shane, I understand that the four down segment that we've had, and my notes say, fans love it. Ask about it when it's not on the agenda. So it must be something that's really getting a lot of good feedback.
Yeah, they really do. There's two or three people this week. I really like your football coverage. I really prefer you do your titles. Those are fun. We even had the one person. Remember the week we changed it over when the one person asked for how about some headlines volleyball. On other for other sports?
Yeah.
Even had one bitter football fan say it's called four downs, not like four serves or four goals or four hole in ones or whatever. So a little bit bitter there.
Ooh.
So yeah, seem to enjoy it.
Okay. Well, we're going to do this as we've done, I don't know, probably about four times now for football. We kind of got away from the, what do we call it, the two-minute drill or something like that. And we go down to first down, second down, third down, and fourth down headlines. And so we bounce back and forth between the two gentlemen here. And the winner of the coin toss today was John Bruce. So he gets to go first. Yes. Yes, you did. And you will receive first, that is. And Shane will defend the North goal. So we have first down headline from Mr. John Bruce.
All right. The Bearcats take a cruise to a perfect regular season.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had to throw the cat thing in too, yeah. Since I'm a cat guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I mean that night was it never rained hard, but it rained so annoyingly the whole time. And after the first possession of the game, nothing really could happen for either team. But Chris McFadden had a huge game, and he had a receiving touchdown in the first quarter on the first possession of the Bearcats,
mm-hmm.
made it 6-0, and then 2-point conversion made it 8-0 or 8-3. My bad. And then absolutely nothing of consequence happened for two and a half quarters. Now, it was hard-hitting, exciting football, but neither team could really get anything going because, I mean, there's one play in the game where Adina's going deep on a play. Paint Valley's defender falls down, but Adina's receiver falls down too because it was muck, and it was hard to watch. But then Cruz comes up with a huge pick six to seal the game, to seal the perfect regular season with about 3 minutes left in the game, 31-yard pick six. He's a player that if you've watched him in football and basketball, you've seen just the talent is there. And then he does it in big games. And, man, he had a big-time game in that just mud and muck everything. Also, Lane Mettler made play after play on the defensive end. It's just you can't say enough about that Bearcat team. I mean, Patrick Chapman makes an interception to completely seal it when there was slight chance for Adina, but makes a big interception to make it to where Bryce Newland can take a knee to end it. Mm-hmm. When you've got kids like Braden Eisen, Ian Cockerell, Caden Grubb, you know, Malik Davis, their athletes have made it to where they are a really fun, exciting team to watch, and they have so many different weapons that you don't know who's going to be the hero which night, and it just happened to be Cruz on Friday night, and it just couldn't happen to a better kid also.
All right. That is John Bruce's first down, and, of course, he went to the puns and so forth. Shane, are you going to stoop to his level of pundom, or are you going to go with the classic headline? Let's see what you have.
Well,
I guess I'd already
given my title away on the website there. Black and golden, the black and golden, and I do like the perfect word there with the perfect hand, but the black and golden was what I went with. You know, obviously on a week like this, you have to start with a team that goes 10-0 in Paint Valley. And I guess what impresses me, John, is they win all types of games. They got caught, as good as their defense is, they got caught in a couple shootouts this year, and they find a way to win them. And then, you know, when it comes time to really step up with special teams or defense, you look over the last six quarters of football, what the defense and special teams did to take that Westfall game over in week 9. And then, obviously, the way the game was played, you know, the other night was a mess. You mentioned McFadden scoring on both sides of the ball. Such a unique athlete, can impact the game, really in special teams as well. But, you know, I don't have it in front of me, but I was just trying to think about their defense, John, when you were talking. I want to say they've given up 8 or less, I think, in 6 of their 10 games. And when you do that with the type of athletes you are just rattling off, that's a pretty good formula for success. Mm-hmm. And I think for me, Bruce, it comes down to, you know, what happens in unselfish championship play is usually you have about 10, 11, 12, 13 kids that could do a lot more. And what has to happen is they have to do less for the good of the team. Mm-hmm. But then when that one moment is called for you to step up and make a play, it's your job if your team's going to reach its full potential to do that. And, you know, that for me is what happens through all this running game with the ice and with Cockerell, with Mettler in that offensive line. You know, when Bryce had to step up at quarterback play, be it, you know, hitting Caden Johnson there in week 9 at Westfall, or we highlighted, John, there a couple weeks back, the fourth in goal play to Caden Grubb at Southeastern. Those are the types of things that happen. And this week it just happened to be Cruz's turn, and to his credit, he was ready to go. But, you know, on Saturday at the volleyball game, guys, afterwards, we were all waiting around for the girls to come out and talk to him a little bit. I had a chance to go up and congratulate Braden Eisen. I thought that we would have a little sit down with him for SVC Sports Talk, and we just talk a lot about these particular factors. Bruce, if you don't mind, let's go ahead and run that one.
Wait, first, congratulations. First thing I wanted to ask you about is, I know you guys well enough to know that, you know, you go 10-0 this season, but this is something that's, gosh, it's been in the works for probably 4 or 5 years in the weight room, all the way back to who knows what age. Just talk to me about that particular thing and how special that makes this, doing it with your buddies and knowing all the hard work that goes into it.
Well, I said we started lifting about eighth grade, and we've been lifting every off season and going into football, working our butts off to try to get better for every season. So it just makes us all better connected as brothers, more than just friends, for every football season coming into it.
When I think of the roster at Paint Valley, I look at all the yards, say, Mackey had last year, and then this year with you and Lane and Ian. Gosh, there's probably four or five different athletes on Paint Valley that if they were a featured back, probably have a 2,000-yard season, yet you guys just kind of share it and share it alike, and that just kind of says a lot about the character and kind of what goes into a championship team, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, like, we're not jealous of each other. We all know what comes into being as a team. We know that, hey, this will keep us safer, to keep us more relaxed, and just give us like a little break between gun and offensive defense. Just give us a little break between, so we're not all tired and keep using our legs. So it just gives us a different look for on offense.
Yeah, I tell you, we're all guilty in the media sometimes of putting the guy on there with the rushing yards or the passing yards or the touchdown. But talk to me about the offensive line and the job that those guys have done each week for you.
Well, they've done amazing the past few weeks. I mean, last night they kept their feet, and we're doing amazing keeping our lead blocks. And I mean, it was just outstanding job they've been doing. I mean, they play a big role in our offense, and that's what we needed last night, was the D-line or the offensive line to be set and ready to go.
Well, last question. I mean, I've been around Paint Valley long enough to know what week 11 in Bainbridge is like.
Yeah.
So, you know, obviously you celebrate the 10-0, but I know you're very excited about the week to come. Just mindset going into practice this week.
Well, we got to make sure we all stay fit, because we can't get in our heads like we did against Westfall. We kind of, as you can just tell, our mindset was off just a little bit, and it showed during that game. So we know we have to come back, and it's a championship week every week. We come in, total mindset that we're going to come in, we're just going to practice hard so we can come hard to play on Friday.
Well, just on a personal note, always been one of my favorites. I know how hard you've worked physically to get back, so it's really gratifying for me to see something like this happen to you and your teammates. Congratulations. Best of luck next week.
Thank you.
Again, that was great and nice in their Paint Valley. Saturday was the day after, and you know, guys, you talk about the improvement, John, from last year to this year. Obviously, each kid got better, and each kid got a little bigger, faster, stronger, but a lot of it was a healthy Braden Ison. You know, just a phenomenal football player, phenomenal young man, super, super kid. Just so happy for him and for him to be healthy and be in the middle of all this. But I love what he said about how the depth of ball carriers with Cockrell, Mettler, and Ison have allowed them to also be elite defensively. Mm-hmm. Them staying fresh. I mean, when you watch this team play, you'll have Mettler shooting the gaps there in the middle, and you'll have Ison, you know, making plays and different things. And I don't know that that's possible in the week 9 and 10, John, if you have a guy carrying it, say, you know, 30, 35 times on the other side of the ball. So I think what they're talking about there really lends itself to good. And I said it in the opening, you know, this isn't by accident. These guys work so hard at this. I mean, they are relentless in the weight room. I think that, you know, most of them, I think they nearly put weightlifting in front of breathing. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you said you can breathe or you can do this next set of bench press, I think they'd almost ask, well, how many reps you want, and then hold their breath. I mean, it's nuts. I mean, it is. So I'm happy for them. Good team. One of four teams into the playoffs, and we obviously wish them the best of luck.
Let's go on now, guys, to second down. And for the first headline of second down, we're going to go to Shane.
Well, guys, I'm going to go with Mother Nature 1, SVC fan 0. I just felt like, obviously, as a Paint Valley fan, I was very happy they won. I'm just talking the league in general here. I just thought that – remember, John, last week you were talking about the points and some of the different things and mm-hmm. that you were looking forward to watching, and not just in this matchup but in other matchups as well. And I just felt like maybe we missed out on a couple little special moments or special matchups or some different things I was really anxious to see. I thought Preston Sykes competed awfully hard. I thought in watching him three or four times this year, he was probably the kid that was impacted the most by the conditions, especially with what they were probably trying to do with a couple of their key guys out. I know in their screen games, a big part of what they do, and they had trouble with the longer drops and setting it up, and you know, misdirection really wasn't going to work because people couldn't hardly get going one direction, let alone two or three. So, that's where I would come from there, guys. And I think you could say that across the league. I know that they mentioned the conditions, obviously, with like Uniota's running game and the way they overpowered. Give Zane Trace a lot of credit, you know, but obviously the Huntington offense wasn't the same. And again, from a lot of people I talked to, Zane Trace deserves a lot of credit for that. And then, you know, with Westfall Southeastern as well, I think what you had there too, guys, was Southeastern and Uniota understanding what was on the line. They were a focused teams that were really not going to let this opportunity slip away. So, certainly a great week 10 still, I guess, just if take out who you're rooting for and just look at it as a whole, there was some certain matchups that I was really anxious to watch or analyze that maybe we didn't get a chance to.
All right. John, we're all waiting with bated breath for your second down headline here.
It's not great.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, behind a dominant front line, the Tanks have a chance at taking down the Bulldogs, which, of course, is based on Chance Smith. So, you know, they will face Bloom Carroll in Week 11, and behind their offensive line has been ridiculous all year. I mean, Dalton Ford, Chris Roberts, Logan Shanton in the middle, Ryan Williams, Carter Weiskup on the outsides. They've opened up holes for nearly 2,800 yards on the ground this year. I mean, that's, you know, Jamarcus Carroll goes out 1,300 yards. Obviously, you know, he was very dominant when he played. But after that Southeastern game where they were still trying to figure out some things on offense, the last 3 weeks they've ran wild again. And a lot of it has been Chance Smith. The senior is – he's just running hard. He knows what's on the line for him. He was excited when I saw him at the – well, if you've been to a Uniota sporting event that is not – that Chance playing in, still seen him. And the kid, he's purple and gold. It's good for someone like me to see a kid like him have success like he is. And earlier today, he was Coach Matt Combs' assistant coach down at the elementary basketball games that were going on. So, you know, he's and I just watching. I watched Matt last week. Just watch him coaching, and this is on his day off. I mean, he's going in and helping youth kids. On he doesn't have to be there. So it's just he's just such a great kid. They're gonna have a chance against Bloom Carroll in Week 11. But if they're going to, they have to have that line to just keep opening up the holes for Chance and Aiden Leffler, who's been outstanding the last few weeks. This is a Uniota team that this is their best chance to, well, first off, score, because they haven't scored in the last 2 years in the playoffs. So to score and to be competitive. And if you would have told me that a couple weeks ago when they're losing a player of the caliber of Jamarcus Carroll, Chris Skaggs, Nick Crow, Colton Arrowood for the season. I mean, it says a lot for that coaching staff and just how good that offensive line is to keep them in these games and to just establish the running game and dominate the clock like they have been able to do.
All righty. Well, John, we're going to come back to you now for the third down headline.
All right. So there's just kind of it's a song from Rocky. I think it was in Rocky 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 7, 18. I don't know how many there are. But it's something that Coach Hoops played when we were freshmen. It's the no easy way out. Like the no shortcut home. That's just what I was thinking of when we came to Week 11. Nothing's going to come easy for the SEC in Week 11. We have four teams playing. I mean, Paint Valley gets Grandview Heights. Like that's they had to have the most difficult game for a one seed. I think they have a very good chance to win it. But for a team like Adina, not even the bus ride's going to be easy.
Yeah.
That's two hours and 45 minutes in a car. Hoping with no traffic. So that's going to be, man, that's going to be a rough ride to face a very good Shadyside team. But, you know, that Adina team's, I mean, I wasn't able to really see Preston Sykes open up things, or like you said, Shane, with just how it was in that field, they weren't going to be able to open up. But man, they're good, and you could tell even in that muddy condition that they're a good team. They're going to have a shot. I'm pretty confident that they're going to have a shot to you know, be competitive with a very good Shadyside team. Also, you know, Southeastern has to go up to Galleon. They play Northmore, who's also another very good team. But that's Southeastern offense. I'm pretty sure it's a nightmare for coaches that have coached against it for a couple years in the SVC, let alone someone who has 4 days to prepare for it. I think the fact that they're going to play on Friday gives them an advantage also, because it gives – the Northmore coaches less of a chance to prepare for. I mean, Dalton Thurston is their third leading rusher, and he's over 600 yards this year. You have Thurston with over 600, Lane Ruby over 1,000, and Mikey Nusser over 1,000 also. And we thought that they're going to take maybe a step back running the ball, but they haven't at all. So while it's not going to be easy for any of those teams, I'm really excited to see how we do. I think it's there's a chance to get a couple wins, and to, you know, it's going to be fun to follow.
All right. Thank you for that third down headline. Now we go to Shane for his third down headline.
Guys, third down, we're going to go changing chaotic culture. I think what happens is when I listen to Scott Keller and Tyler Gallion talk the other night on the radio, I really enjoyed that as a coach, just talking about community, talking about all the different factors. You know, there's so many things out of your control as a coach, but at the same time, you understand that you've got to find a way to get them in your control, and figuring that out's really hard. You're not always building a program. You're building a culture that allows a program to exist. And they both talked about a lot of different factors in terms of recruiting kids and what goes into getting kids out, you know, in the hallway or in the summer. And then, you know, sometimes you try to recruit kids, or you think you have kids out, and, you know, for personal reasons or whatever different things, they go a different direction. But, you know, when I see a Huntington team go 5-5, yeah, that's a step in a positive direction away from what's not normal there. When you see Python go 1-9, that's not normal in the other direction. Zane Trace, obviously with a lot of adversity. You know, we talked about Braden Eisen last year just a second ago, or Ian Cockrell being banged up early in his career. Yeah, obviously you get older, you get stronger, but a lot of times it's just being healthy. You know, you see what Uniota is going through this year, in terms of credit to them, the way they were able to right the ship just in time. But you know, the numbers and the different things and some of the personal decisions of kids and so forth, you know, 3 or 4 athletes on a football team can swing your record from 3-7 to 7-3. I mean, it really can. And I think that's what was interesting to me. So as we get into the off season, obviously 4 teams start their off season now. You know, I think John made a good point on last week's show about where Adina and Paint Valley were at this time last year. Just something to kind of think about. And I thought a lot about John's comments as Scott and Tyler were talking on the radio. I thought their 2 interviews were the highlight of the Scoreboard show this past weekend. Just really, really good stuff. 2 guys that really know the game, and 2 guys that if communities continue to support and get behind, it'd be hard-pressed to find better coaches.
All right, we're going to come back to you, Shane, now for your 4th down headline.
4th down is rhyme time. Okay. Tradition of playoff poetry to continue this week. So, guys, I was trying to remember where this started. I think it started actually before the website. I was teaching at Paint Valley, and Paint Valley made the playoffs there right about the time I first started. And I had written a poem, and people kind of liked it. And then won a playoff game, I'd write another one. And it really just kind of caught on a little bit. I think there's one that might even be hanging out in the field house still there. That's kind of cool, and it that mentions different kids and some different particular games and things in history of Paint Valley football. But so then when the website started early on, I think it had been about the Westfall team, some of those. And Coach Keller was up there, and I just started doing it every year. And I didn't think much of it. Well, the one year it got to be about Thursday, a playoff week, and some people started asking, "Hey, we gonna get a poem?" And so I did it, and it just kind of caught on. So year after year, I've always tried to do this, and you can go back on the website and see those. But you know, this week we have four of them with Adena, Uniota, Southeastern, and Paint Valley. So I was sitting around this afternoon and started to mess around with some things. It was funny to hear John use chance the way he did there, because that may or may not be in the Uniota poem there. And but I can usually knock one of them out in 20 or 30 minutes. So I'll have to get busy this week and see what I can do. But all four of those schools, I certainly won't cheat them. I'll make sure I get something out this week to honor their incredible accomplishment of making week 11.
So that will be under the football page, Shane? Is that what they're
I'll highlight them, the headline right out on the front page.
Okay.
And then what I do is I do archive them to the football page so people can always go back and get them. I know a lot of parents over the past have kind of liked to print them out, make like scrapbook type things or whatnot when they do the different clippings and so forth. But I'll also on Twitter or Facebook, each time I release one, link it out there and make sure that people recognize them. I, with four people, I used to try to separate. I may try one a day or maybe like two on Monday, two on Tuesday, something like that. But that way we certainly don't cheat anybody.
Well, we'll be looking forward to that, I'm sure. I'll have to print those off and put them up in the studio here. I haven't done that in the past years, but I should probably. Okay, John. We're coming to you for a fourth down headline. Don't disappoint here.
I was going to go with, was it Karnak the Magnificent?
Yes.
From Johnny Carson. Yeah.
You are correct, sir.
I was going to go with that. Yeah. I was going to, you know, use something with that, look it in the future. And then I started to look up some of the skits and yeah, that it wouldn't have fit.
Okay.
I was, all right. Yeah, but it was, you know, the skits were really funny, so I'm glad I got to watch them. So we're just going to go looking into the future. Things are looking bright for the SEC in football.
Okay.
Well, you know, all four quarterbacks of the playoff teams are back next year. Galloway and Shanton are back for Piketon and Zantres. You know, get a healthy Jamarcus Carroll back with other injuries. And man, this thing's going to be really good again next year. It's going to be loaded again. Like I said last week, you never know where a Zane Trace and Piketon is going to be next year because of the work they're going to put in. You know, and like you said, Shane, I mean, Piketon's been a very solid, good program for a long time. They'll be back. I mean, I can't imagine that any reason why they wouldn't be. You know, it wouldn't surprise me if next year there's four more teams in the playoffs. It might not be the same ones. It's going to be just a really loaded, exciting league again next fall. And, you know, it's even though I'm a basketball and baseball guy, I'm looking forward to it. It can take its time getting here, but I'll be very excited when it comes because of just how good it's going to be. And Mother Nature, she did a fairly decent job this year. I just hope she doesn't rob us of another big matchup like she did this week. Because, I mean, 8.5 out of 10
yeah.
games this year, pretty good nights. So, you know, you would take it every year, but it would just be nice if we could choose a little better for when she decides that she's going to pour all over us.
You know, guys, they were saying the other day, people that know Paint Valley know how serious they take their facility and how much pride they put in that field. There was even an open discussion to should we move the game. And I about fell off the bleacher the other day when I heard this, because if you've ever been to a playoff game in Bainbridge in week 11,
mm-hmm.
Paint Valley's up 7 to 10 points when the team gets off the bus. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's an event. I mean, I haven't heard, I don't know how serious the conversation really is, but I would be pretty shocked if that particular thing happened, because playing at home, you mentioned the bus ride, you know, up north or over to Shadyside or wherever, you know, Bloom Carroll, wherever you got to go. Mm-hmm. Playing at home is already an advantage. But again, I just think it's a really neat thing for community. I mentioned last week a couple times on the show what it means to your community and all the people involved. So good stuff, Bruce, on the four downs here. We'll root these guys on and get some poetry out there. And then if we have anything really crazy happen, obviously on our basketball preview shows are coming up, but we'll, again, we'll backtrack and make sure we cover it properly.
And then I'm sure you guys will be doing a little tweeting on Friday nights coming up.
Yes. We'll do our best to spread out. We won't be able to get all four of them covered, but we'll get a couple, hopefully. And then hopefully we can reach out to some of our friends in the SVC and make sure we at least keep people posted on what's going on at some of the other sites.
All right. And just remember, follow the hashtag SVC Sports Talk, and that will keep you up to date on all the people that are tweeting for us out there. So, all right, guys, up next, John and Shane play our final five sets of volleyball for 2018, as Shane will recap everything SVC volleyball and peek ahead to 2019. Well, our volleyball reaction brought to us by North Fork Animal Clinic. Dr. Blake Lloyd and his staff at 2260 Anderson Station Road in Chillicothe, where we care. Remember, they have both their veterinary practice as well as their pet resort out there. Pet resort is open 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Monday through Friday. Saturday and Sunday, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. The veterinary practice, Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Saturday, 9 to 12. And as I always say, or not always, I guess, but I just started saying, the official veterinary practice for the Stars, including our very own John Bruce, as he usually makes at least a weekly visit out there to see Dr. Blake Lloyd with his pets. So
a couple weeks ago, I made two visits.
Okay. Yeah.
Within a week. Yeah.
Were you able to escape this week without any visits to Dr. Blake Lloyd?
Yes, but I believe I'll be there on Tuesday. So.
All right.
Yeah, can't leave Miss Lola out of the, yeah.
So. There sounds like there's a whole story there, but since this is a sports show, we won't talk about it any further. We'll pick that up after we get done taping. Well, guys, okay. This is going to be a little different. I think maybe this will satiate some of those fans out there of volleyball that liked it when we departed from the what we called first, second, third, and fourth down a couple weeks ago when we talked about volleyball. But Shane has racked his brain, and I'm going to give a topic, I guess, in a set format, and I'm going to give that to John, who will then serve it to Shane. So we'll catch on here pretty quickly as we go through this, and I have a feeling this is going to be a five set match here, Shane. So be prepared. Of course, it'll only go 15 points in the second match or in the fifth game here. So here we go. Our first set. The topic is tournament, John.
I just hope I don't set into the net and just cut this off early.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. All right, so when we're talking about the tournament, I mean, the SVC, outstanding, I mean, to me, outstanding having four teams in the district finals. Three of the teams lost. Three of the seven teams that have lost so far lost to other SVC schools. So, Shane, would you say, you know, that there were some positives? And what positives do you see from the SVC? And after that, would you be able to find any negatives? Was there any performances that you see as a negative as a whole for the league?
Well, I think you're spot on when you say the four teams into the district final is what highlights the positive. I think you really have to dig deeper than that in terms of analyzing who these teams are. You know, you not only have your co-champions up there, in two different divisions, by the way, where Uniota just dominated D2 up to the district final, and it sounds like they ran into a really good team the other day. Southeastern at D3 going back to the regional for the third straight year. But then you start to move down the standings. You get another team in Zane Trace that's in the final and gets beat by the SVC team. But keep in mind, Huntington, the team they tied with, a lot of that was just the difference in the seeding that we talked about several weeks back, where, you know, a lot of people said if you didn't think there's a big difference in the seeding, then, you know, the difference between playing Huntington in the first round of the district and playing North Adams, that's mm-hmm. a difference. And then you go down to the bottom with Paint Valley. Here's a team that was in the bottom spot of our league, and all they do is they go out and win five sets in the sectional final. Then they go and get themselves down 2-0 and come back and win against Waterford. So here's a team that finishes last in your conference. And if I'm not mistaken, they've beaten two conference champions from throughout the Southeast District this year in their particular schedule. So that to me is certainly your spot on there, John's the positive. The negative side, I always think tournament time. When I think topic of tournament, I guess it goes back, Bruce, to the beginning of the show. It goes back to the end of the road for seniors.
Mm-hmm.
When you know the how final it is and how hard that can hit a senior. I had tweeted out earlier in the week, Reese Kearns, one of my favorite kids, in terms of the leadership that she has shown throughout in the job that she's done with that young team there at Edina. Huntington's Riley Black's performance the other night jumps out at me. She was terrific in that Southeastern match that went five, and she left it all out there. But it's just so hard for that final moment for seniors, I think, would probably be the negative takeaway, especially here in the SVC when many of these elite kids play varsity 3-4 years now. So by the time they get to the end, even if it's not the school that you root for, you certainly feel like you almost know them. Not personally, but you certainly know them as student athletes and what they represent. So I think spot on the positive there, John, and the negative is just part of it where, you know, your career wraps up and then, you know, life awaits.
All right, John, you're going to serve this to Shane in our second set. Teams taking it to another level.
All right, so I think you can look at this kind of two ways. Do you take it to another level in a positive or take it to another level in a negative? So what team do you think you would say took their play to a positive another level? Well, also, was there a team that you thought underachieved in the tournament, so maybe a lower level for them?
Honestly, and maybe people disagreed, then go ahead and email me and let me know. When you asked me, did anybody underachieve, I think, again, that shows what's incredible about our league. I would say no. I mean, take yourself through. Adina's young team goes on the road and wins in five in a sectional and then goes to the district and pushes an Alexander team that ends up 22-4 that had Wheelersburg on the rope the other night. Then Huntington, you know, we just talked about the brackets where Huntington just as easily could have been the district runner-up. Paint Valley, they certainly went on a run that was something they should be very proud of. Even Piketon in the beginning, they go on the road and win a first-round game, and then they get knocked out by an SBC opponent. Southeastern's going to the regional. Uniota makes the district final. You know, Westfall wins a first-round game, then goes on the road, and a Wheelersburg team that's undefeated to the regional, they go on their home court, John, and take them four, lose 25-23. Zane Trace certainly didn't put their best foot forward the other day, but I think they certainly got a Southeastern team that was primed to play some of their best volleyball, because keep in mind, you know this, every tournament run has that little scare along the way, and mm-hmm. I think Southeastern got that with Huntington. And it really refocused them. And then obviously the whole seeding thing and so forth. So I thought that was something I really expected Southeastern to play really well the other day. And they did. So, but even then, Zane Trace is a team that, you know, the girls leave with a district runner up medal. And no matter who won, someone from the SVC was going to obviously, you know, go home as a runner up finish. So I look at it as no team really underachieved. And obviously, Paint Valley went to another level. Even though Uniota lost, I was really impressed with how Uniota played throughout the first two or three games of the tournament. I thought the Fairfield Union match, as I was following those updates, was some of the most focused volleyball Keep in mind, Fairfield Union beat Huntington earlier this year in five, so that was a team that was solid. So, I guess I look at it like that, and maybe someone will think I'm going too easy on the league again. I watched a lot of area volleyball this year, and I feel like every SVC team at least did what they were supposed to do. Now, if you want to sit here and say that, you know, Uniota not making the D2 regional is underachieving, I mean, that's – you know, that might be a little harsh because I respect Mike Smith's volleyball, and from everything he described the other day, he was basically describing a Sheridan team that could flat play. So, I mean, that's where I stand on it, John. In terms of, I think the league is, you know, Southeastern's still going, so hopefully we'll continue to push forward.
Yeah, I'll just say that Sheridan team was ridiculous. I mean, they were all over the court. They were bigger than I thought they were also. Yeah, that was and I was impressed with Uniota because they looked a little shell-shocked to that first couple sets, and they bounced back and won the third, and they're about an inch maybe long of really being in that fourth set and having a chance to win it too. So,
well, and I said, yeah, when you say shell-shocked, I said it earlier, Bruce, Uniota doesn't take the court very often in this area where they are at least not the bigger, yeah, faster, stronger, more athletic group. So, mm-hmm, I'm sure it was a little bit of a shell shock or an adjustment period for them.
All right, guys, we move along to the third set. And, John, here we talk about sideline adjustments.
Yeah, so, Shane, as we're both coaches, you know, we paid a lot of attention to coaching aspects that go on. Was there any moves that you saw in the tournament that you really liked from the sidelines?
I don't know as much about the X and O part here, John, as much as – and you know this. A lot of times you get this deep into the year, and it's just about getting your kids' minds right. It's about a confidence thing, or it's about just understanding what they got to do. You know, sure, I would watch a few little adjustments in terms of tweaking a little serve receive here, or tweaking a little defense around, or maybe going to a certain matchup, or maybe putting your rotation back a spot. But more important than any of that I saw was the way some coaches just handled their kids mentally. You know, to watch an Adina team with that youth come from 0-2 down against Memphis, or to watch Paint Valley come from 0-2 down against Waterford. Those are the types of things. To look at what Jimmy Hutton did with his Southeastern girls after the Huntington scare, to over the next couple of days get them refocused for Zane Trace. All of these things. I thought Natalie Stawley had her kids as focused as I had seen them through the first three tournament matches. So I think all of these things I as a coach can really appreciate, because I know how hard it is to sometimes because you'll know this, John, like when you're in a locker room with kids and it's a new group of kids, you have all your arsenal, right? All the fancy things, mm-hmm, we've ever said are in play. When you're coaching kids that you've coached for like 3 years now, I start talking sometimes in the baseball dugout or the baseball meeting or whatever, and kids are looking at me like, oh, here goes Coach Combs again. He's going to say this. You know what I mean? And it's one of those where, you know, it's hard. So, you know, finding new ways to motivate kids, one, you have coaches that are trying to motivate a bunch of 13, 14-year-old freshmen, kids that just turned 14 years old. And then on the other end, you have kids that have been on your team or in your program now for 3-4 years, and you're looking at 17, 18-year-old young adult, and you're trying to tell them something new or something creative that can maybe spark it. So to me, guys, that's the biggest coaching adjustment this time of year is the psyche of the kids. Friend once told me that boys have to be happy to win, girls have to win to be happy. So, you know, keep that in mind when you're giving your next speech.
Okay. Wrote that down. All right. We move along to the fourth set. And here, John, players performing on the biggest stage.
All right. So last year, Kristen Phillips would have been the one that really fits that. She took over, went crazy in the tournament. Were there any players that you would say have been the best player in the tournament so far, or maybe a couple players who have had the best performances overall?
Well, in the sectional level, you know, I know the competition's not as good, but you'll notice on our Athlete of the Week, Miranda McCloskey had quite a serving day there early on, setting a school record. against a little bit tougher competition in terms of a comeback win. The Harper girl from Adina was outstanding at the net, had the big game. I thought a couple things down at Waverly jumped out at me, guys. One, even in a losing effort, I thought Riley Black in the Southeastern match was terrific. She was really giving them fits on the second ball, pushing to the back corner, doing a lot of different things that really had them just kind of searching defensively on where to go or what to do. I thought in the Alexander match, Cameron Carroll was outstanding. I mean, outstanding. Had the 21 digs, but just in the serve receiving, some of the different things that Alexander was throwing at her. So I thought that was something. Obviously, PV collectively had some stats I shared last week. But then I think Jess Boldy's really coming on. What I've noticed here, guys, is the elite player can kind of push you through the first couple rounds, maybe even to the district semi. As you start to separate to the really elite teams, you just have to have that second or third hitter come along. And I think Jess Boldy is a kid that jumps out at me. Her overall play at the net's been really good here. And at the regional level, beyond Heiss and Boldy and Skeens, yeah, maybe even one more, like with a Wheeler. I don't know what DeLong's health situation is, a long heat, someone like that. But that's something that jumps out at me as well. But, yeah, it's always fun. The fan and the coach in me always likes to look when the match is on the line or when it gets winning time, who kind of hides and who kind of puts their shoulders back and says, hey, set me the ball or serve me the ball and let I want to touch it right here. So that's good stuff. That's a good question there in that fourth set.
All right, we move into the fifth and final set. Things are tight here. The topic is a look ahead to 2019.
All right, so you know, looking at next year, who would you say are the players to watch for next year? And do you have any predictions on the league and the league title for next year?
The league's really unique next year, guys, because you know, at the top, take your top four teams here. You know, Uniota loses two really good hitters, McGlone and Fisher, a really underrated blocker in Strickland. You know, Southeastern's going to lose the all-time assist leader in the history of our league in Goble. Boldy graduates as well. Zane Trace graduates, three all-league kids, and Rand Bennett, Unger, Huntington, and Black, McCloskey, Collins. They even lose Cox. And here's the Adina program just kind of lurking again. You know, it's one of those things where with all that youth, they're going to get a year older. And I wonder how much they close the gap. Yeah, I think Zane Trace and Huntington are going to get hit the hardest. Obviously, Uniota has athletes. They return, what, 7 of the 10 kids that just went 23-3?
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, Southeastern will have to replace the most important position on the court, but it certainly helps having the SVC and District Player of the Year and Skylar Heiss back to do it. So that to me is interesting. Then I look down to the bottom with Westfall, Paint Valley, Pike, and it's tough to close the gap. You know, I use our baseball analogy where I've always said they're the top's not going to necessarily come back to you as much as you got to go get them.
Mm-hmm.
Adina is a perfect example. This is the one time where in the last 20 some years, Adina's come back a little bit, and you look at it on paper, and already within 1 year next year, you're like, oh, man, they're going to challenge right at the top again, aren't they? So I still think Uniota Southeastern are the teams to beat. But I think Adina is the one team that becomes scary good. Now, as far as individuals, I think the thing that makes Westfall is Kristen Phillips becomes certainly a player to watch. I think she moves into the second half of her career. I'm fascinated to see, are they going to be able to find ways to keep her on the floor all six rotations so a player of her talent can impact the match in different ways. I think our sophomores next year could have breakout years. We mentioned all the Adina kids when we start looking at all the young kids that Coach Smith was running out there. I mentioned Carroll earlier. I mentioned Harper earlier. But there's also kids like Martin in the front row. Battle can hit. Riley can hit, the lovely sisters there. So it's, you know, Garrison will join in passing in the back row. There's a lot of kids. I'm probably missing some because I don't have their names in front of me. But, yeah, there's so many kids that are involved there. Then don't forget about, like, Megan Steele at Huntington, Olivia Smith, Abby Stanford. What's Paint Valley going to do with the setting situation to build their team? Because they have other young kids that now have some experience with Brumfield and Chapman, a couple kids coming up off the eighth grade. So certainly Skylar Heiss, certainly Hallie Pinkerton anchoring the defense there at Uniota, but with kids like Cottrell, Coleman Eldridge back setting, Stalley, Pierce, those types of kids that are coming back, Miller, they have a lot of kids that just won a lot of volleyball games. So John, I'll probably keep Uniota Southeastern there at the top, but look for Adina to close the gap. Look for Phillips and Westfall to kind of be that sleeper team. And then Zane Trace, Huntington will be the teams that I'll probably have to get into the summer or the preseason to see what they're going to look like, as they probably get hit the hardest by graduation.
All right, guys, that was an interesting look at volleyball. Look back, look forward, and so forth. Appreciate your input there. You know, before leaving you for the fall, as this is our final SVC Sports Talk of the fall, we hope all of you listeners will join us for this final segment where we talk basketball. Yes, I said basketball. If you're like me, you can't believe the fall is just about behind us in the rearview mirror, but basketball is coming up, and this look at basketball brought to you by Crown Hill Golf Club in Williamsport, 9500 U.S. Route 22 West. Give them a call at 740-986-4653, and of course, for detailed information, and we want to remind you about their banquet facilities and so forth, might be a need coming up here with the end of year parties and whatnot for your corporate clients and so forth. Look up the detailed information on Crown Hill Golf Club. That's crownhillgolfclub.com. Well, Shane, we'll probably surprise people as we talk about basketball maybe a little bit early here, but early in the process, what do you see as the main storyline that we will be discussing when we return to SVC Sports Talk a little bit later on in November?
Well, I'm already getting a little bit, guys. I think it's going to be centered around the unique situation we've had and now lost to graduation with Dylan Swingle and Ellis Keynes. And I think that's probably normal, because let's face it, that's not a normal year or 2 or 3 year segment of SVC basketball. And then it's going to be centered around the Uniota boys. The expectation, no matter who they graduate, it's going to be that particular expectation it's there if they want it or not. The girls' side, I'm hearing a lot of Uniota comments wanting to know. A lot of people feel like Southeastern's still going to be sneaky good. Mm-hmm. And then Huntington's a very interesting team. So keep in mind, in our boys' league, our first team last year was 5 seniors. Got some college basketball players sprinkled through there at some different levels. So, and John, I'll talk more about this maybe, but I think the Beam graduation at Zane Trace is a very, very, remember in volleyball, mm-hmm. I talked about Ashley Taylor and how I thought that was kind of a sneaky thing. And then how Westfall was hit by some of the same things there in volleyball. I think Isaac Meme is a kid that falls into that a little bit. So those are just off the top of my head a little bit. Looking early in the inbox, what will happen now that football's over for half the league and more people start to turn to the winter. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure I'll get more, but that's probably the early look to our preview show. Some of the things, you know, even with Dylan Swingle graduating, New Paint Valley returns 4 starters, so there'll still be a lot of optimism there. So, yeah, anxious to see how it all shapes out, but certainly a fun time of year when we get ready for those preview shows.
John, what do you see as the main storyline we will be discussing when we come back?
I just think how those really good seniors from last year are going to be replaced.
Couple
other things be how long Uniota's win streak lasts. I mean, they do play Zane Trace at home the first league game.
Oh, okay.
So that could be just a big time game to watch. And the boys' side, the girls' side, I just want to see how Huntington mixes in, because I know they have a loaded freshman class and they have a really good senior class. So that's going to be a really fun to watch for them. I think they're a team that could sneak up on some teams, especially in the non-league, because they got a lot of talent. And Uniota probably is the favorite in the girls' side, but at the same time, you know, that's a really good team over at Huntington.
All right. Shane, any predictions or things you want to watch that you want to share with us?
I'll probably save most of the predictions for later. Okay. I will throw out there some things to watch, maybe like a Huntington duo, or like Elijah McCloskey and Braden Collins. They're going to be chasing some pretty elite numbers there on the boys and girls side at Huntington. I assume a Josie Fisher would have an outside shot. I have not asked. You know, John, you might want to look at that with Coach Miller there. I thought she might have an outside shot at 1,000, but I started thinking of 1,000-point scores, because keep in mind, we just had a situation where we lost Alexi Woods and Ella Skeens and Dylan Swing, all these kids that were Purdue with Python. You know, we just had kids that seemed like every night, girls or boys, I knew to open the 1,000-point page because I was going to have an update to do. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Where now you start to look at that next group of kids, certainly have some young kids that have the talent to do that. Now, some of our junior seniors have played roles where you're going to see some junior seniors that maybe only averaged like 7-8 points a game last year that I think are capable of scoring 16-17 a game this year. I really do. I'll talk more about those when I get to the preview show, once I start to break down some of the rosters, but that would be the big thing. I mentioned the Uniota win streak. And then the three-point shot is something I really want to analyze, John, a little bit more. It's such a unique weapon, and we've had some stretches in our league. If you go back 5-6 years where it was really being used as such, but it seemed like other than some of the specialty kids that could really shoot at the last couple years, it didn't seem to be as much of a depth in our league. So that's something I'll be anxious to take a look at too, because Bruce, you know, over the years just how much I really like the three-point shot and what kind of weapon I think it is.
Yep, your brother said anytime you got the ball, three-point shot. No, he didn't say that, not at all. Well, John, anything you want to show your hand, or do you want to hold it close to the vest, sort of as Shane did? Any predictions you want to share, things to watch?
Shane, if you like the 3-point shot, come watch my JV games, because we're shooting it a lot. I mean, it's something like you said. I mean, 3 is more than 2. Yeah. I mean, that's to me. It's, I mean, as long as it's a good shot. I mean, as long as kids practice it, it should be a huge weapon for teams. But my biggest prediction is snow and ice. You know, it last winter was not too bad overall, but then we had the 1 week where I think I watched like 3 entire shows on Netflix because you couldn't get out of the house.
Yeah.
So I'll predict that happens. But my biggest thing is I've said this to anybody that'll listen, and I'm sure to people who haven't been listening, because I feel like I say that a lot. Just people ignore it. But this boys league is going to be really good just from top to bottom. I mean, and a couple of things I've heard from Westfall also sounds like some good things. So I think every team, while we're losing a lot of seniors, we return a lot of talent and then also a ton of experience. There's going to be some really good games, some really good players throughout this league. I think we have really good coaching across the league. And it's just, you know, it's a unique situation where – you know, we lose so much talent. We lose the all-time boys leading scorer and girls leading scorer. But I just think we have so much talent in this league that it's going to be – should be a really fun winter.
Yeah, it's interesting on the boys' side, John, because about five or six teams in the league I think can be as good or better. And the two teams that you could argue won't be are still going to be arguably two or three of the best teams in the league. So it's unique, and that'll be fun to break down.
I can't believe we're talking about it, but it's starting. I can feel the excitement starting to build. It's not that far around.
Yeah, John and I have some good basketball topics. Some things were sent to me in the summer that I've saved because I didn't think they were appropriate on the fall shows, but there's some different, What's that stupid ending they used in the summer that you like, John, that I can't stand?
Oh, I love the Elam. Jack Hall. Oh, that much. Yeah, the Elam.
And he loves it, so maybe John and I can argue back and forth about that during the winter. So Bruce, we're in for a pretty good winter, I think. So.
All right. And we might mention, we were looking at the calendar before we started taping today, and we anticipate, this is subject to change if management gets a bee in their bonnet or something like that, that episode 233 will come about or be published on Monday night, November the 26th. So that's kind of what we're thinking at this point in time. Again, that's kind of subject to change. And while we're away, these guys sleep a little bit, but not too much. So you are welcome to provide input to them, particularly if you have something coming up that you would like to see talked about in the basketball season. You can get a hold of them by emailing them. John is jbruce1018@yahoo.com, and he is available on Twitter, where his handle is @coconutwallpapa. And, of course, to follow him, you also want to look and search on the hashtag SVC Sports Talk. Shane, email is admin1@svcsportzone.com. His Twitter handle, SVC Sports Zone, @SVC Sports Zone. And, of course, he uses the hashtag, again, SVC Sports Talk. That's been a nice addition. It's easier to follow you guys in one coherent conversation when big things are going on. So I appreciate I think maybe John was the one that led us that way. I appreciate that.
Yeah. It certainly wasn't me.
Yeah.
It's the most normal hashtag I've ever used also. So.
Yeah, that's probably true. And it's actually useful, not like the other hashtags that I use. On Facebook, Shane can be reached at his two profiles, Shane Combs, SVC Sports Zone, and svcsportzone.com. And we want to give a shout out here to our man, Derek Webb, when he's doing his SVC Sports stuff, which has been quite a bit here recently. His handle on Twitter is dwebwrites. That's @dwebwrites. And then his other handle is @DW1509 for Buckeye News information. And while I get the opportunity, I would like to remind you that we would really appreciate it if you would subscribe to our podcast. You can search iTunes for SVC Sports Talk, and you can do the same on Stitcher if you're a person that listens through Stitcher. And you can also just go to each one of the episode posts and insert and submit your email address. But I got to remind you that if you do that, you must click on the verification email link, the link contained in the verification email, I say it that way, and then wait for an email announcing the publication of the episode. That will come usually the next morning after 7 a.m. sometime. You'll get the email announcing the publication of an episode. So, guys, that's going to wrap it up for me. Anything you got?
Well, a lot of fun there in the fall. John, go ahead, Darren. I'll say a couple things in closing.
Yeah, I was just going to say I'll have updates on Tuesday from the girls' soccer match, probably Thursday from the regional for volleyball, and then definitely Friday and Saturday. Make sure you follow SVC Sports Talk on the hashtag because we'll be out and about, and we'll be talking about these kids and how they're doing in these events.
And I hope to be joining John as much as possible at all those events. I am coaching girls basketball at Paint Valley with Coach Norman this year. So obviously I'm getting into the season now, and we'll have some parent teacher conferences later in the week, but I'm certainly going to be with him when possible. So again, check us out on Twitter. So good luck, Uniota Soccer. Good luck, Southeastern Volleyball. Good luck, Uniota Cross Country, and Zane Trace is Hannah Kerr. And then good luck to our four football teams. And again, make sure you check out the website throughout the week for a little rhyme time as our playoff poetry tradition continues. So guys, it's been a lot of fun. Until basketball season, for Triple Crown Family Fun Center and all the other sponsors on the website, for Bruce Knox and all the people behind the scenes, and at DBK Media Services, and for John Bruce, this is Shane Combs reminding you to keep visiting svcsportzone.com, where we're 100% SVC 100% of the time.
You've been listening to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SVC Sports Talk.
SVC Sports Talk is brought to you by SVCSportsZone.com and Triple Crown Family Fun Center. Join us next time for the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SVC Sports Talk. And visit SVCSportsZone.com, where we're 100% SVC 100% of the time.